Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I have a super special guest I'm so excited to have here with me today. So Ms. Nancy O'Keefe, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Please do us all a favor and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and how you got into it.
Well, Kat, thanks for having me on. I'm really honored that I'm here to speak to you today. And what do I do? I'm a human design specialist and I'm a business coach. I've been an intuitive business coach for more years than I'm going to share because that will show you how old I am. But but yes, I help CEOs and entrepreneurs. I've had a number of different businesses around business coaching, but right now, what I'm doing is helping people, women entrepreneurs in particular, with human design, helping them incorporate that into their lives and their businesses. Because as I'm sure you know, we're all conditioned in the world. We have well-meaning parents, teachers, society, advertising that kind of tell us how we should be, what we should wear, what we should do. And, you know, in the course of those well-meaning teachings, we kind of lose ourselves a little bit. And we end up in a place where we're doing a lot of shoulds and have tos, and we're hiding a lot of our true self. And the real secret to a successful life and business is really simple: be yourself. But we need a little help sometimes, peeling back the layers of who we've been told to be and uncovering who we truly are and then living it. So that's what I'm up to now.
I absolutely love that. Now tell us, how did you get into, because I have tons of questions for human design and all the things as well. And I had the privilege of getting my human design read. So I'm super excited to ask some questions to give the audience some information along those lines as well. But how did you get into human design and business coaching?
Well, business coaching goes way back. I started in 1995 as a career coach, part-time, because there were a lot of layoffs and downsizing. And frankly, people just were hit, out of the blue with some big life change in the career area. And a lot of people started coming into my office and asking me questions. Should I go back to school? You know, and I'm looking around going, why are you asking me? I had layoffs in my department too. But then I realized they must have seen something in me that I didn't. So I took a certification in career coaching and I did that part-time for many years. But beyond that, I've been a business coach. I've owned a large outsourcing firm, US-based outsourcing firm. I've had a lot of employees. I've had no employees. So I've had a number of businesses. But I retired when I was 55, and that lasted about 9 months. that didn't go so well. So I put my shingle out and I became a business consultant and coach. And that was in about 2010. And I've just been doing it ever since. And I love working with women entrepreneurs and women CEOs, helping them with strategy and helping them understand how to streamline their business and, you know, really make it the most effective it can be, the most successful it can be, and still allowing them to put some of themselves into it. Not just doing things that, you know, other people are doing. We talk a lot about differentiating our businesses. And one of the best ways to do that is to put your own little spin on everything, because we're all unique and we're all different. And when you are following those cookie cutter models, how does a would-be client separate you from anyone else? Yeah. So having that special little spin makes a real big difference in your business.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's, you know, my history. I've been all over the place. It's always come back to coaching and back to consulting around business. So
I love that. And so this is a really interesting take as well in regards to implementing the human design into people's businesses, which I find extremely fascinating. So can you give the audience a little bit of an understanding of like what human design is and kind of explain a little bit for those that, you know, may have heard the name, but aren't really sure what on earth we're even talking about?
Sure. Let me give you just a little history. I used extensively in all of my businesses, personality assessments, things like Myers-Briggs. I know most people have heard of that DISC assessment. There's so many of them. And, you know, the universe tapped me on the shoulder one day and human design came flashing across the radar screen. And I went like, I don't have time for this, but it kept happening. It kept showing up. So finally I stopped and I looked at it and my first inclination was, oh my God, this is so complicated. And I find that's what most people think. Human design is a set of systems, really. It's new. It only came into being in 1987, believe it or not.
Okay.
And it's part astrology, part Kabbalah, part Chinese I Ching, part quantum physics, and part chakra system. And when you put all that together, you get this amazing tool that really helps you see yourself as you chose to come into the world when you were born. And it's just fascinating how spot on it is. Anytime I do a reading, people are blown away by how could you know that about me? All you need to give somebody to get a reading is date of birth, time of birth, place of birth. So it's really amazing. And what I like to do, a lot of people do readings, they're great, but you know how it is, you get a reading and then the information's exciting, you listen to the recording a few times, and then that's, you know, about it for people. I like to make sure you use it. What does that information mean and how can you incorporate it, make tweaks in your life and your business so that you're really in the flow of who you are? It makes things easier to get done. It helps you attract the right clients. They feel your energy anyway. You want them to feel your real energy, not the one you're putting out there in sort of a should have to kind of way. So it's really all about just aligning your business with who you are. That makes it less overwhelming. It makes it effortless. I have a little exercise I do sometimes in some of my talks. I can tell you what it is. It's quick. And anybody who's not driving in the car at the moment can do that. Just take your pen and put it in the hand you don't write in normally and sign your name. And when you do that, first of all, your hand's going to cramp up. The first thing you're going to say is, oh my God, this looks ugly. I can't do this. This is so hard. It takes so much focus and concentration. Then put your pen in the other hand, the one you do normally write with, and you'll sign your name. It'll be easy breezy and you'll see how effortless it is. You don't even have to think about it. You can do it with your eyes closed. It looks great. It feels great. That's the difference between living in your human design and aligning with it versus fighting it. It's effortless. It doesn't take any energy to be something you already are. It takes a lot of energy to be something you're not.
Yeah, so true. And I love this. And I was introduced to human design a couple of years ago. And same thing, like you were saying, I tried to do the chart and look it up and I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, this is so overwhelming. And over the years, you know, I've had mentors and stuff that had some knowledge about it that were able to give me a little bit more insight. But it really is interesting, in my opinion, the way that things line up within the chart. So just to give everybody kind of a little bit of background, if you're not familiar with it, so there are different types. And then underneath all those types, you have, and please feel free to add to this, Nancy, you have gates and you have open areas and you have closed areas. And every single one of these is unique to each person. And you just fall underneath one type, which kind of gives you, in my opinion, like a generalized outline. So you have manifesting generator,
and
projector. Is there anything else?
Reflector.
That's the other one. And it's really interesting. And what's been really cool is the people that I have talked with that understand a little bit about their human design, they one, feel it more at peace. but especially for those that I've seen that are like projectors that realize that they take in a lot of people's energy. And so they need a lot of time to rest. I've heard this like repetitively, and I tend to follow a lot of projectors. Actually both of my mentors were projectors, which is really interesting. And it's really unique to see how all those times that you have like those little thoughts in the back of your head where you're like, well, maybe that's who I am. Nah, no, I'm not going to worry about it. But once you actually have someone that knows how to explain this, it is so incredibly cool, in my opinion. But it's also eye-opening. And I think it really kind of helps, especially for those that always feel like, and I know I felt fit in this box, where like things made sense. And then sometimes people say other things and I'm like, yeah, no, that's not me. And they're like, yeah, no, cause you're blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, it doesn't really line up. Like I always felt like there were pieces missing that I wanted to make sense of, but I didn't understand why I did until I had a reading done, which, oh gosh, brought so many things up, but it just, for me, it was reaffirming who I am, the direction that I'm going, and understanding that. So, you know, if you've got anything to add, Nancy, please, because I know I'm shallow.
You're right. When we did your reading the other day, you could see how there were things in the chart that really lined up, because you come into the world with a purpose, with a life purpose, and a lot of skills, talents, and attributes that help support you in achieving that life purpose. So yes, there is alignment in the chart. There are also some lessons and challenges in the chart, things you're here to learn, that when you do learn them and master them, and you have a couple of opportunities throughout your lifetime to do that, it just opens more up for higher potential, higher possibility. Yeah. And if you understand your energy, as you're beginning to, and you realize, you look at what you're doing. Am I living in the lightest, highest expression of this energy? Or am I kind of hiding in the shadow and maybe not making the most of it? You can make these little tweaks that make a big difference in how you're operating in the world. It's really your energetic DNA. It's a roadmap to how you're here to navigate the world.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One of the one things that I found extremely unique, and one of my mentors kind of leaned into this, and we touched base on it as well, was that I am emotional, or my solar plexus, or my sacral, there we go. I tend to, from the gut, for other people, so you feel with your gut, right? So apparently that like really is how I make decisions. And so for me, when I am making a decision, and this is something that I learned last year, is I cannot make quick decisions. And Nancy, you and I talked about this, because I do know in my past when I've been like, or I'm like, oh, that would be great, we could try that, and I just go with it, it ends up being not what I wanted to do, or I find out that I want out of it a lot quicker, or just, you know, things tend to fall apart, right? And so I really have kind of put that into motion, where when I am talking with people, when I am dealing with people, even when I'm choosing mentors or programs that I want to be a part of, instead of instinctively saying, oh, I should do that, like I really do try to sit with it. Or I will tell someone like, hey, I actually don't make decisions on the spot, so let me think about it and kind of see if this aligns with me, and I'll let you know. That has saved me so much money and time from paying attention to that.
It's so true. And there are a lot of people, as I mentioned to you the other day, there are a lot of people living a life that was really a no for them, but they said yes, and they didn't know how to get out of it. So you have the sacral in addition to the emotional solar plexus. So you can make those quick decisions. The trick is to sit on it long enough to decide if it's really the right decision. And there are a lot of people out there who don't sleep on it. They don't take the time, and they make a decision. They feel like it's a yes, and then they regret doing it. And it's, you know, it's one of these, oh my goodness, what have I done? Why did I sign up for that? Or what was I thinking? And yeah, you want to avoid that. And the other part about making decisions is that in life, especially if you've ever taken any kind of a course in critical thinking, or we're encouraged to think with our heads, logical thinking, weigh the pros and cons. That's how you get at the right answer. And that is not how any of the energy types are meant to get answers. You're meant to, as you say, feel it in a, some part of your body. It could be different for everybody, but yeah. And it makes a huge difference. If you feel into a decision, and even as the words yes are coming out of your mouth, it doesn't feel good. That's because your body, your gut feeling knows better than your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's so funny too, because I was just looking at, some things earlier this morning. I always try to fill my mornings with inspirational stuff, and Mel Robbins, happened to come up, and she was talking about how, if you really, truly think about it, most of us, like, we make decisions off an emotion. Like, when you are, you know, going to do something with your kids, off an emotion. If you're choosing something to eat, it's because you like it, right? Like, everything we really deal with, and when you think about it, is based off an emotion. And so learning who you are and being able to break that down, it just kind of makes everything like crystal clear, because you can go back to, oh, okay, so I think this way and I choose this way, and you can go back to that feeling. And it really does help, in my opinion, kind of navigate when you are in those times of uncertainty, which a lot of us are in, right? Especially when you're starting businesses, or when you're making bigger decisions in your businesses. So that's something that I found super freaking awesome. The other thing that I thought was really cool was the difference between knowing like the different gates, which is something that I'd never really had anyone explain to me, and understanding the difference between when something is open and when something is closed. So can you explain that a little bit?
The open and defined is about the centers, and they pattern the chakra system. So you have the head, the ajna, which is your third eye. You have the throat. You have the heart, which is divided into two centers. You have the spleen, the sacral, the emotional solar plexus, and the root. And they all have a function. And when they're defined or colored in on your chart, that simply means that you have consistent energy in those areas. You know that energy. You can call on it anytime. You understand how to use it. When they're open, you can really learn from others. You don't have consistent energy. You absorb and even broadcast other people's energy. So you can learn and become very wise in those areas. You can pull things from the people that are around you. But it can also create a little bit of confusion, because you've got a whole bunch of thoughts in there that aren't necessarily yours. So in the area of love and direction, for example, it can confuse you about what your actual direction is. And there are some vulnerabilities in being open. Like we talked the other day about, an open throat makes you a great speaker, but it also sometimes makes you feel like nobody's hearing you, like you're speaking and the world's not listening. Not really true, but that's how you can feel sometimes. So there are some vulnerabilities in the openness of the centers. And there are some, frankly, restrictions in the defined areas, because you're very fixed in how you do things. So there's a balance of both in everybody's chart.
And I love that. And that was something that was really cool as well, because I found out that I have an open crown, an open ajna, and an open throat.
and an open root.
Yeah. So, and the first three, especially the first two, you know, your crown and your third eye, really made a lot of sense, because the first thing that you said to me was, you get a ton of ideas. And I was like, oh boy, do I.
And you have a lot of pressure on you, a lot of self-imposed pressure, because you have those two open centers and your open root. You feel pressured to do things, and it's self-imposed pressure. But So you find out a lot about those kinds of things. And then you reference the gates. Now, first of all, we all have all of the chart in some way, but the gates are the little numbers that appear in the areas of the chart. And when they're highlighted, again, those are gates that you have consistent energy in, versus the ones that aren't highlighted, but you may get energy in those gates from the people that are around you. So, you know, it is very interesting, and it's very fluid, but those gates are what I call your natural skills and talents. It's a way you have of being that makes you unique, and also gives you support for your life purpose.
Yeah, definitely. I love this, because to me, like I said, this was really eye-opening to kind of help me understand the things that I've been through, the things that I'm going through now, and to be honest, the things that I will be going through in the future. Now, for those people that, let's say, because of this episode, they're just curious to know about their human design, do you have a place that you suggest that they go to? And What would you tell them would be the first things just to kind of look at to give them a generalized idea without them looking at this chart that I've seen a couple of times and going, oh, nope, this makes no sense.
Well, what I would recommend, I have a great ebook out on my website that's free, and it's called The Three Sacred Gifts You Can Learn from Your Human Design. Oh, you can nice. Go out there and download it, and it will tell you the basics about human design. And then if you're a business owner, there's also an ebook out there about sales and marketing and how your design impacts that. And there's one about the three keys to a successful business. So you can read those and get a lot of information about human design. And although it won't tell you your specific human design, it will give you some insight into what it's all about and what mm-hmm. information you might glean out of it that you can use to help you in your life and your business.
I love that. I love that. And if you've got links, we'll make sure we put those in the show notes for people to be able to find those ebooks.
Excellent. Yeah, they're right on my homepage. So they're really easy to find.
Yes. Yes. So we'll make sure we have that in the show notes because I think that is really awesome. Now, one thing that I thought was really interesting that you were talking about, and you might have to explain this one a little bit to people, but you kept talking about having a magnetizing energy. And I know everybody's different, but can you explain this a little bit? Because I thought this was really unique to my chart. And I find that people tend to like just come and talk to me a lot and just tell me all their problems, which I was like, oh, okay. But can you explain that a little bit? Because I thought that was really cool to my chart. And again, everybody is different. But we're going to kind of use mine as an example to give you guys a little bit of information inside of it.
Well, each of the five energy types have a different type of energy. With the exception of the generator and the manifesting generator, they have the same type of energy. The real difference between them is that their speed is different. Mm. But as a generator, which is what you are, you have magnetizing energy, meaning if you're doing something and you can show the passion you have for it, you should never be doing anything you're not passionate about. But if you show the passion for that, that's infectious, and that will naturally magnetize people toward you. And that's what that is all about. Now, if you're a manifester, you don't have that magnetizing energy, but you have initiating energy. So you can start the ball rolling. That's actually what you're here to do. And if you start the ball rolling, people will just come to you because they're interested in what you're doing. The projectors, they have to be invited. Their energy is such that if they're not invited or recognized, they can't give their gifts. And when you say you have mentors who are projectors, wow, are you lucky? Because projectors are very insightful, and they're also here to guide and direct the rest of us. So those are just the perfect mentor people. And finally, the reflectors, they're only 1% of the population. We don't come in contact with too many of them, but they have mirror energy, and they're here to reflect back to the rest of us how we're doing in the human race. So if you think of a Broadway play, this was the analogy I was taught, which I think is just so great. The manifester is the scriptwriter, those guys that just went out on strike. You know, they're the manifestors. The generators are the actors. They're the set, you know, designers and builders. They're the people that take the ideas and put them into form. Mm-hmm. The projectors, they're the directors and the producers of the production. And the reflectors are the audience, letting us know with applause or boos how we're doing. And that's kind of how it all fits together. So once you know what your energy type is, you can get a lot of information just from that. And just from looking at three pieces of information, which is covered in that Three Sacred Gifts book that I have, just those three pieces of information will give you a lot of good insight into yourself. And you won't have to look at all the lines and boxes and numbers at that point. And you can still get some really great insight.
Yeah, I love that. And that was something that was extremely overwhelming for me when I first looked at it, was because there was all these different numbers on either side and these, you know, lines going different directions. And some of them were certain colors. And I was like, this doesn't even make any sense. I was like, I picked up on the left-hand side that was like what I was, what my profile was, and that was about it. Right. And so, but yeah. it's unique to really have someone who knows and understands it to be able to break it down in simplified terms, I guess is what you could say. The other thing that I thought was really interesting that you talked about with mine was something that you call a change agent, which is really cool because I had not heard this term used in like all the things I had looked up with human design and a couple of people that I had chatted with. So can you give us a little bit more insight on, you know, like what a change agent means, what it kind of stands for? Because to me, that was like the final straw of like, yep, I know I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing kind of a thing.
Well, a change agent is just somebody who fosters change. They're here to make change in the world happen. We all hate change. People don't like to change. We're very comfortable how we are, even if it isn't really what we want. But there are people in the world who have the ability to have original ideas and transmit those ideas to others for the purpose of inspiring them to change or think about things differently and look at the potentials in life. And those are the people that help us evolve, really. They help us see other ways of doing things and mm-hmm. start to, you know, ferret those out and get us to the point where we can make a change. And you are one of those people. And I get that from your chart as I look at the various gates and channels. And, you know, it's the combination of everything put okay. together in a package that makes you unique. Are there other change agents in the world? Certainly. But you are. And you are here to be a change agent around peace, to help usher peace into the world. Boy, we know we could use that in this day and age, right? So it's no mistake that you're here with those talents now. Everybody has a purpose. And, you know, part of yours is being a change agent for peace and, you know, doing bigger things in the world to help people see what's possible.
I love that. So now in understanding that, to make sure I've got it right too. So you can tell from that and from looking at all the different gates. So it's not necessarily something that can just be read off of the chart by someone that just went and pulled it up. You have to really understand the intricate pieces to it.
Yeah. And how they play together too.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes
a lot
of
it is how they play together. And, you know, and everybody is uniquely designed. There are no two people that are the same. Mm-hmm. And it's really very interesting. A lot of us are here with similar life purposes. Similar things about us, but everybody's got a little bit different twist to theirs. And then remember that your life purpose is about how you're here to be. It's not necessarily about what you're here to do, because you can do your life purpose in a variety of different vocations and businesses. Mm-hmm. For example, my life purpose is to live an authentic life and to inspire others to be themselves. Isn't that interesting that human design just kept showing up in my face? Because I needed that tool to do that and to add that to my coaching. But how can I help inspire people to be their authentic selves? Well, maybe I could have done it through art, or I could have written some songs, or I could have done it in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But I chose coaching, and that's the way I'm delivering my purpose. So a lot of times people ask the question, what's my purpose around? What should I be doing? You know, what career move should I make, or what business should I start? Really, it's about how you're being. And you just want to line up whatever you're doing for work so that it allows you to be what you're here to be and share with the world what you're here to share.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you brought that point up, because I do feel like a lot of people, including myself, when I first read it, I was like, oh, great, now I'm in another box, right? And when I did learn to understand some of the pieces in it, and after you and I talked, like, it really is just like an all-encompassing way of, like you said, kind of who you are, but not necessarily what exactly it is that you're supposed to do. And it does leave that open for you to be able to choose, depending on, you know, how you were brought up or the things that interest you, or, you know, whatever the case may be, which I love, because, you know, sometimes when, especially when you're doing like the Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram, like, I felt very boxed in when I was reading that stuff. And a lot of it, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then suddenly I'm like, no, it doesn't. Well, then what happens with a lot of people, right? Now we're questioning, well, do I do this? Now you're paying attention to it, right? Like, so
right.
You take it apart.
You're right. I love the Myers-Briggs. I use it for years. I'm a certified administrator, but it's only got 16 types. Mm-hmm. And it was developed in the 40s, great instrument, but I think it's, you know, there are something better out there now. I think human design is better because it does look at the differences. And the other thing I like about the differences is we hide those. If in business, you're, you know, not supposed to speak out unless you're spoken to, and we take that approach, think of all the good ideas that maybe never get out on the table. Somebody like you with gate 11, the gate of ideas, you've got a million of them. And if you were, you know, prevented in any way from sharing that, that would be a shame, because there might be some gold nugget we all need that you have. And if you hide that, so you have to be allowed to be yourself. You have to be allowed to express and share what you're here to share. Otherwise, not only do you feel stifled, but we miss out. The whole world misses out on good things. And I recently realized that the way my chart is configured, I'm not always here to implement things. Sometimes I'm just here to plant the seed. And I used to be really bummed out when I would have this great original idea and I couldn't get it off the ground because I don't have initiating energy. And 2 years later, somebody's going gangbusters with my idea. But then I realized, you know what? That was my job, to put the seed out there, not necessarily to implement it. Mm-hmm. And there was so much peace and comfort in that for myself, really just understanding I fulfilled my role and it was someone else's job to take it and run with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you start to see things so clearly. You stop comparing yourself to others. You stop listening to, you know, conventional wisdom. If your wisdom isn't conventional, oh, well, go for it.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that was something that you brought up, you know, when we were talking about gate 11 on having tons of the ideas. And that was something that you brought to my attention, which I struggle with, which is not all the ideas are necessarily meant for you, right? Which has been interesting because, you know, I kind of come to this conclusion over the last probably 6 months of like, this is why I enjoy working with people. And it's kind of one of the reasons why I've like coined myself as like the brainstorming queen, because every time I chat with someone, I end up coming up with all these ideas that I have never thought of before. And the funny thing is, I told a client the last time, I said, okay, so we're going to talk about this. I was helping her get set up for a vendor fair and stuff. And, I said, but do me a favor. I'm going to record it. I said, because once I get going, you cannot stop me. I was like, because if you stop me, I will lose all train of thought. I cannot tell you what on earth I just said beforehand. And she just started laughing because she's worked with me before. But that's exactly what happened. And that was so cool because we talked back and forth and I sped off for a good hour and I sent her the recording and she actually messaged me back a day and a half later and said, you're not going to believe this. Like I went back, I watched it. I have 4.5 pages worth of stuff. Like I am so excited. There are so many things I can test out and I can implement. I can see what works for me. And, you know, she was just so happy. And that made me happy because it wasn't necessarily for me and I wasn't doing it my way. It was just whatever was coming out. And that is something that I have learned for the people that I work with. And that's one of the reasons why I ask so many questions, because I tell people, I don't want to design something and create something based on how I work. I want to design it based on how you work and how you function. Right. And when I lean into that, that's when everything just flows naturally. Although I do lose people sometimes because I talk fast.
Well, it sounds like there's some intuition at play there too, that, you know, when you start, because when you say, I start talking, I'm on a roll, you know, I can't remember what I said. That's a lot of time intuition being interjected into what you're doing. Because I have that too. And I tell people, I'm going to record your reading. I'm going to talk really fast. Don't get annoyed with me and don't interrupt me because I'll lose something juicy that's meant to come through. And that's why I record it, because then you can listen to it over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've got the same kind of thing working with your ideas and your brainstorming.
I've started noticing that. It took a little while to accept that one, because, you know, as human beings, we want to be the ones that came up with everything, right? But I did start to realize that. And there were several times that, you know, I was helping friends or helping other people, and I would just kind of start messaging them all kinds of stuff. And it's funny because I always share a lot of those things with my husband, especially if it's like our friends and stuff. And he was like, how did you come up with that? Like, that's actually really good. I'm like, I have no clue. And don't ask me, like, I have to reread it to even know right. what I just said, which he thinks is hilarious. But it did take a little bit of, I wouldn't say necessarily getting used to, but just accepting that certain things come through and I may not remember that I said it. However, it's exactly what somebody needs to hear. Yeah. Which is exactly. why I keep the podcast the way it is. Every conversation is raw and real and nothing is pre-planned or pre-scripted because I do believe that certain people are meant to hear these episodes and they're going to get out of that episode whatever is meant for them to hear, whether it's one piece, the whole episode. But that's how people have also been connecting with me as well out of the blue is through those things because there was something organically that connected to them.
Yes. And the other nice part about this is realizing that it's a gift. It's one of your talents. Not everybody has that. Some people aren't terribly good at brainstorming. They can't think up new ideas. So if you can give your clients, your friends, whatever, that gift that you have, you can really help a lot of people out just with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I find a lot of people don't realize that some of these innate characteristics in their personality are gifts and talents because they're so used to having them and using them, they don't mm-hmm. see them as something that is unique to them. But not everybody can do what you can do. And that's why we all need each other.
Yeah. And I do love that you brought that point up too, because that is something that a lot of us tend to blow past, right? I know that I even did it when I first got into my business and my mentor said, I want you to do me a favor. She said, I want you to email 10 people that you've worked with or that you're close friends with or whatever the case may be. And I want you to ask them if they could describe you and, you know, give you your strengths and your weaknesses, what would it be? And so I did, I sent it out. And it was really interesting to see all the commonalities between all of the people. So hint, hint, everyone, you should try this out. It's really cool. But it also gave me a really unique insight on the things that I do on a regular basis that I'm like, well, I just do it. And she's like, yeah, but you don't understand. Like, that is a talent. That is not something that these people have, which is why they appreciate it from you. Right. And I do think that, you know, in our society, we are... we are praised for goals that are set by other people. And we're not necessarily praised for the things that we are naturally good at because then other people get used to seeing it from us, right? And so we forget and then we don't appraise ourselves. And then we go through life wondering why everything sucks or why I can't do this. And well, I don't have any talents. And it's like, whoa. Like, wait a minute. Like, if you really think back and you really take the time to read into who you are and the people that you've helped, I don't care if you're getting paid or not. If it's a friend that you've helped,
right?
Like, you have to understand that those are individualized gifts and you have that. Yes, someone probably somewhere out there has something similar, but it still doesn't have your unique perspective, right? And we forget to celebrate that.
And we get homogenized by society because we like sameness. And what ends up happening is that you tuck some of your gifts in the background because they don't seem to be valued right now. And, you know, you end up shortchanging yourself when you do that. And others, but yourself too. So being aware of what your natural gifts and talents are and really seeing them in your chart and understanding that they are gifts and not something everybody has, I think is a huge confidence builder and a self-esteem builder. And I just love when people feel, oh, wow, you know, oh, there's something special about me. Because I think we're all pretty tired of being homogenized. You know, we've moved to this place of mediocrity. Where, you know, the people that have gifts can't shine and the, you know, it's just, you know, it's shortchanging society. It really is. So get out there, learn your gifts and make them shine.
Yes. Yes. Well, and it's not even really taught when you're kids, right? I mean, you go to school, you're taught the same thing. You're supposed to learn it the same way, which I think is ridiculous. But anyway, you know, now we've even gotten to the point, like even when my kids were in school, at least when I was in school, I still had the ability to kind of do things the way I wanted to. Then we swapped over to this Common Core math crap. And a lot of people, I'm gonna call it what it is. And a lot of people really struggle. I struggled with it, right? Because I'm trying to teach my kids the way that I did it in ways that made sense. And I'm like, this makes no sense. Well, the teacher said, I have to do it this way. Why? Why? Like, when did that become a stipulation? So I do feel like we are like suffocating the creativity and the abilities for people to yes. think outside the box at a very young age.
Absolutely. I agree. And then some kids become afraid to express things differently.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, yeah, that creates all kinds of problems, including anxiety and all that. You know, you got to be yourself. And the one thing you can do for your kids is let them be themselves, obviously within some guidelines, so they're safe and secure and all that, but let them express themselves some of the time. It's just so necessary to the human development.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's interesting? I mean, even Einstein talked about it. Like, you need to have imagination.
Yes.
He talks about that. And that's something that literally has been choked out of us the older we get. And we do it to our own kids, you know, there's nobody there. You don't have an imaginary friend. Stop doing this. You can't do that. Why don't you do this? Well, you're not that great at that. How about we try it? Like, we push it out of them instead of allowing them to try things out. You know, I know I did that with my kids for a while when they were younger as well. I mean, that's how I was brought up. And, you know, they kind of nudge you toward what you're good at. And it's not that it's on purpose. I'm not trying to squish my kids' dreams. It's my own limiting beliefs of, oh, well, you know, he's not great at that. So we're going to try and see if he wants to try something else instead of allowing them to discover it.
And they will find their own way. Even the ones that appear to be slow starters and haven't figured it out when you think they should, they will find their own way. My kids are much older. I have I hate to admit this, but I have a child who's 50. 50? Ah, that's a mind blower. But anyway, and I have one that's in their early 40s, and they figure it out. They figure it out all on their own, and it isn't maybe what you had planned for them. But then again, it's not your life, it's theirs. So.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny, as I just saw a clip that was on LinkedIn not too long ago. And it was a gentleman that was actually talking exactly about that. He said, you have to understand that your children are born with all of these abilities, and based on their raising and what they're put in front of, they're going to build upon these abilities. And you need to understand that you are not the creator of these beings. You are the shepherd. The shepherd does not create the sheep. The shepherd gives the sheep the green to graze on and takes care of them and pushes them in the right direction but the shepherd is not who creates the sheep. He just guides them to where they're supposed to go. And I thought that, like, it just clicked. And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And I really have tried to do that with my kids, especially over the last several years with them being teenagers. And my oldest one's almost 19. He's not mine to raise anymore. He's mine to guide, but he is his own human being. And I have to understand that. And so, like, when we have conversations, that is something that I actually, and I've told several parents that I work with, you need to start repeating this. It's not my decision. It's yours. I can give you the options and I can tell you the choice that I would probably make, but you have to make the decision. It's not my life. It's yours. And that is something I repeat.
You have to be open to learning from them.
Yes.
I can't believe how much I've learned from my kids, just watching them be parents and watching them do things. And yeah, it's just such a great exchange. It's a great place to be where you can share with each other and learn from each other.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh, Nancy, I could talk to you forever. We could have so much fun. I could just dive into this. So anybody that's out there, I mean, please make sure you are commenting, subscribing, and also asking questions. And we're going to give Nancy's information in just a minute. One thing I love to ask all of my podcasters is, do you have a quote or a piece of advice you would like to leave the audience with?
Yes, I have a piece of advice. And it's that, you know, we talk about freedom in this country, but the best freedom, the most rewarding freedom that exists is the freedom to be yourself. All of the things that we've been talking about, but give yourself that freedom. Give yourself that freedom. Be yourself. That is the key to life.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you follow your true path based on who you really are, not who you've been told to be, you will have such ease and flow and abundance coming into your life that you will not believe the difference. You have to be willing to be yourself and to receive the good stuff that's coming and not put up the blocks because somebody told you, oh, well, you really don't want that. Or
Yeah. Don't internalize other people's beliefs or limiting beliefs as your own just because they told you so. Yeah, I absolutely love that. So where can everybody find you, Nancy? How can they connect with you?
Well, connect with me on my website, Nancy O'Keefe, O-K-E-E-F-E, coaching.com. Right on the homepage, you'll find all those free eBooks so you can learn more about human design. There's a bunch of articles out there that you might be interested in. And if I can help anybody out, you can, there's a contact page. Just let me know. I'm happy to talk with everyone and help them understand human design.
Oh my goodness. I absolutely love this. And you guys, especially for you guys who are in business, I hope you guys reach out to her, let her do a reading for you. It's super unique. It is so cool. Nancy is absolutely amazing with this anyway, but it really can help, especially for those that feel stuck in a certain area. Like, it can bring clarity. It can bring peace, or it can open up new ideas that you're like, oh my gosh, I kind of used to do that. Right? Like, it really just helps you feel whole without constraining you into a box. So Nancy, I cannot thank you enough for being a part of the podcast. This was absolutely amazing. And I can't thank you enough for reading my human design as well.
Well, thank you for allowing me to. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. No, of course. So you guys, we will make sure we have the information in the show notes. Definitely check out the eBooks. I'm actually going to go check those out as well. This is absolutely fantastic. And remember, it can be complicated. So reach out to Nancy and have somebody else kind of explain it to you before you get lost in all the strings attached. But to everybody out there, I hope you guys got some amazing takeaways, learned some lessons and all the things included. And to Nancy, thank you again so much for being a part of the podcast. And everybody out there, don't forget, do something positive for someone each and every day and see the difference it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.